Good morning. Thanks for tuning in to your community radio station, KRBD Ketchikan. I'm Maria Dudzak, and as we have been announcing, we are having a call-in show today with regards to suicide prevention. Joining us, we have Sharon Bird with SAIL. Is that correct?
Correct.
And also, we have Leah Canfield here with the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And tell us a little bit, I guess, about your background, Sharon, and why you're here today.
Well, I have a real empathy and purpose in serving people that are entertaining ideas, maybe of trying to hurt themselves or suicide. I come with that because I have an experience of my own. I've had 7 suicide attempts, and so I'm a survivor. And I'm just kind of here to help inform people.
Great. And Leah, what are you here on capacity with the Wellness Coalition?
The Wellness Coalition has a Bay River Health Task Force that is, along with the Suicide Prevention Task Force, that are helping the community build awareness of suicide prevention, and also is also looking at National Recovery Month. So one of the things we are doing with the community is trying to do that, is to bring in folks into KRBD to help build that awareness.
And what are, I guess, some of the triggers, what are the signs, what should people be looking for if maybe they're going, hey, should I be concerned about this person in my life, my friend, my family member?
I think sometimes isolation was key to me. There's also the feeling that you're very, very alone, that nobody understands you.
Right. Well, Sharon, I also want to point out, too, and also, Maria, I wanted to say, you know, thank you for the courage to come on the radio show and tell the story. And yes, there, you know, with Alaska, there are statistics about being the highest rate of suicide in the nation. Particularly in Bering Strait region, that region is the highest in Alaska. As far as statistics go, it's, I believe, like 1 in 5 males that will commit suicide, and probably 1 in 3 in females. And that's kind of an older statistics, but we're right up there. And contributing factors that involve suicide or attempt suicide are not only isolation piece, but also, family members and friends don't recognize that quickly enough, because they have you have family members that or loved ones will start giving expensive items away to you, or there's a change in behavior, so it's just a good idea to kind of recognize that right at the beginning. And sometimes that doesn't happen very often, but when you do have that knowledge of that, then it's important to get educated about some of the signs and symptoms that follow along with that.
I think people also falsely believe, oh, this person's the captain of the football team, or this person is the head of this organization, or whatever it may be, saying, oh, well, they're so involved with anything, how could they be depressed? How could they be suicidal?
Right. I think the misunderstanding in a lot of cases is kind of because of some of the stigma that's out there. The stigma is just huge, you know. And I think that I would like to be real good at stigma busting, you know, because it's...
Well, speak about that. What is the stigma, and what can one do to bust it, so to speak?
Well, you want to hide the fact. You don't want to talk to people. The stigma is that people in society may think worse of you, you know, and tell you to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. And, of course, nowadays we don't go about it with that attitude, thank goodness.
And as you were saying, Leah, there are more people out there who are depressed or with suicidal tendencies than perhaps people realize.
Right. And I think Sharon had a good point in terms of the stigma piece. But as far as, gaining the message and putting it out there that it's okay to get the support and it's okay to ask for help. And with the stigma that goes around that, you know, prevents those to gain, you know, find that help. And there are resources in the community that can do that.
Yes. I know I, working at SAIL, have an opportunity to be involved in a support group there that we have mental health-related challenges. We meet up there, pardon me, on the second and fourth Mondays of each month. And in October, we're going to be going to every Monday, which will be easier for people to remember. But it's for, like, depression, bipolar, PTSD, schizophrenia, and the like. And I just would like for the community to know that we do meet up there, and it's a very casual group, and very, very, get a lot of support there.
And there are a lot of help groups out there, support groups out there, depending on perhaps what's going on with you personally. Again, there are many, many different support groups. And does the Wellness Coalition have a list of those, information about that? Or?
Yes, we do have a list. There's the Ketchikan Resource book. And, there's other booklets out there. There's, quite a bit out there. There's a senior directory booklet mm-hmm. along with our booklet as well. Just an array of a list of things. And in fact, there's one gal that's working with us to get a youth resource book based on mental health. Cool. So that's in the process right now and that's something that the coalition is going to present that during the Fight Club event that's coming at the end of the month. There is quite a bit of information that we can hand out to people.
I know the newspaper also publishes, I'm not sure which day of the week they have those in there, but they'll have meetings in there. We have the ones that are on our calendar that are given to us. So if there's other groups out there that would like to add their names to the list, we'd be happy to have you on there. We have Al-Anon on there, Narcotics Anonymous, and also this support group you speak of that
right.
SAIL sponsors.
Right. Peer support group.
Right. Peer support group.
I also want to add, Maria and Sharon, that there are numbers you can call as well, 1-800 numbers to Caroline, et cetera, that Search has them, KSE has numbers. Get those toll-free numbers that you can also utilize too.
And there's a suicide hotline
yes.
as well. There's a lot of different resources. So, Sharon, you were sharing part of your story, and you said that you had 7 attempted suicides.
I did, and one thing that I would really like to say and have Ketchikan here is that I was 15 years old when I jumped off a real high cliff and broke some bones. And I was afraid. I couldn't cope. I was very depressed. I think trauma, having had been in my background, added a lot to my disposition. My mother used to say I was moody.
Well, and as you say that, a lot of people, they're just teens and teens act
right.
up. So I guess what is it that someone should look for in a teenager perhaps? Is it just growing pains or is this a problem? Does that make sense? Because I think it's a
right.
time when it is tough
yes.
for kids. And I think all of us went through the awkward teen years.
Right.
But there's a difference between adjusting and being awkward and being truly depressed.
Yes. Absolutely. I agree with you, Maria, on that one. I didn't think I had anywhere to turn. I couldn't find answers. I couldn't find anyone to understand me. And mind you, this was in the 60s. So I'm talking from a lot of years ago when there wasn't the help out there that we have now with the resource numbers that Leah was talking about.
There's also discussion. I know there have been mentorship, I guess adult mentor type mm-hmm. discussions and workshops. Is that part of it too? Is now maybe teens have a little bit more access to adult mentors or other people they can talk to if they don't feel comfortable talking to their parents or family members, but people are out there? I mean, I guess that's individual, though, whether someone has that access.
Right. And I think, you know, Ketchikan is doing a wonderful job and you know, having youth to find that support. And, you know, with the Flight Club that's coming up in the event, you know, one of the core messages that they do in the workshops is to have kids, they educate the kids about having five solid support systems in their life. And it could be a, you know, a teacher, it could be a coach, it could be, of course, your parents, it could be your youth leader at church. So those are some of the things that the kids are given this information, that if you do have those five solid supports here, it can be three, you know, can start at three and go to, you know, go up to five or more. Sure. And they have that web of support to fall on when that's they need right. that kind of support, talking to their leaders and their mentors.
I was very encouraged on a visit I had up to K-High, and they actually had banners on the wall saying, "Do you feel depressed?" And I thought, yes. I thought, boy, they're really addressing this now and making the youth, like you say, the support is, you know.
Do you have a sense, Sharon, of what might have helped you? Do you feel that had there been maybe teen peer support or something else? I mean, I realize this was years ago and things were different, but do you have any sense of maybe what would have helped you?
I think to have been able to attend a group like what we're running up at Sail. Just there's 8 to 10 people and at times more that come up there. And we're like a family, extended family, and we care about each other. I didn't feel loved, you know, and as a result, that's something that I've really sought out all my life. So, and acceptance. Yes.
And you mentioned that you had multiple attempts.
Yes, I did.
I guess at what point did you say, enough, I want to be free of this?
Well, I had an organization, an agency come to me in one of my hospitalization periods where I ended up 7 times as well. Being hospitalized, they said, "Are you in it for the long haul?" And I said, "Yes." And they led me into therapy that helped me understand my past and helped me put together a good future.
Okay, and this is a call-in show, so if anyone has questions or perhaps something you'd like to share, you can give us a call, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. We were talking about also resources that are available and the stigma. What could you say to people, I guess, to encourage them to take that step to seek help? Because it is often scary to take that first step, trying to even figure out where to go for help.
Yes.
I can help you, Sharon. No problem. So in looking, you know, going past the stigma is probably the first step, I believe, in saying, okay, like Sharon was sharing about how, you know, after the multiple attempts and the, you know, suicide ideations and the getting out of that isolation piece is an important step as well.
And it's not a matter of pulling yourself up by the bootstraps. That is just so old-fashioned, you know. But, yeah, I would just tell a friend, tell a pastor, like you were saying,
right,
Leah.
Right.
Just someone you trust. And, you know, that was huge for me, too. I didn't trust anybody. Nobody. I just wouldn't let people in.
And I, like you said, that oftentimes people say, "Oh, just get over it," or
right.
"or be tough," or whatever it may be. And you're saying that's not realistic.
No.
To say, you know, just get up and go.
No.
So again, it's just finding someone you trust, and it may be, as you said, someone outside of your circle. And do you have a friend that you trust, that you feel close enough to, or perhaps it is a pastor or an authority figure, a teacher, or someone that you just feel more comfortable approaching? And we are talking about teens, but there are adults as well that necessarily didn't happen in their teen years, but now are struggling.
Right. Well, and then they have their titles, their jobs, their egos, you know, and or image, you know, that they don't want to have spread around town. You know, this is a small town and things travel fast.
Right. And I was also going to mention, too, you know, I had grown up in a small community up north, and, you know, with it being a lot smaller than Ketchikan, you know, we had quite a high suicide rate. And with that, you know, I'd like to reiterate, you know, how isolated it is up north. You know, the only method of travel is through plane, and you have those dark winter months. And, you know, the contributing factors of, you know, the lack of resources they have up north compared to Ketchikan is quite phenomenal.
And it is, there are online resources as well. We do have some people out there who are in smaller communities. They aren't necessarily in the Ketchikan area. They're listening to us in some smaller towns where perhaps they don't have those kinds of resources. Or even, as you say, it's an even smaller town, so you may not be as comfortable since everybody knows everybody, as they say. But there are online resources. There are telephone resources.
Right. And I just, there's a young lady that also shared with me an app, or I think it was an app on Facebook, where people can be able to go on there, and if there are, you know, signs or ideas or ideations from others that are thinking about suicide, there is something out there in social media as well. And we do have that information at the Ketchikan Wellness Coalition.
And that is, I know there are those kinds of things to help people with a variety of issues and concerns. There's always an app out there, and a lot of them will alert you and, in fact, check in with you. There's things like that where periodically it will check in, how are you doing? Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, again, it's an electronic resource in a sense, but for some people, they just need that trigger, that knowing that there's accountability or someone is checking up on them in a sense.
Exactly.
But I've heard about people who have done that.
Right. And I think that you hit something really there, Maria, about having to check in. And, you know, those who are, you know, struggling with suicide or ideations, you know, the support system has to check in with you, and you have to check in back as well.
Right.
You know, and, you know, after being on a hold at the, you know, hospital, you know, there's that time where you do leave, and that's where that the plans need to be set in place for that person to kind of follow through with their therapist and go and, you know, talk with that therapist and get assessed.
Right.
And Sharon, you had mentioned this support group is really helpful to you.
Oh, yeah.
Was that kind of really, I guess, that made a difference for you? Or did something else happen, other maybe counseling, that really put you on the right path? What helped you?
Education, number one. Family, friends. Even today, I have a peer support of my own, you know, that we meet together and everything. And we just support each other, and we hear each other, you know. It just, people are in such a hurry nowadays, you know, that it's hard to sometimes even get a time where 3-4 people can get together, you know. So...
right, just having that, so having that interaction, having discussions,
and
acknowledging.
Acknowledging and knowing that other people have been through more than you have, and yet they're managing and coping, you know. So it helps to build hope, you know, that if I don't have someone to call, if I do have someone to call, I'm sorry, then you do build hope, you know, to go on, even if it's just one day at a time, you know. And if you need to call them every day, they're there, you know. And
okay. And I think we're going to be wrapping up here unless we have some questions. So if there's anyone out there with a question or comment, something you'd like to share, please call in now, 225-9655. Or 1-800-557-5723. And again, we'll be wrapping up here in just a little bit, unless you have more questions out there. And coming up on Wednesday, we also have a story of addiction recovery that'll be coming up Wednesday morning. So be sure to tune in to that as well. So again, Sharon, do you have, I guess, advice for people out there who are perhaps suffering from depression, need some help? You mentioned that support group. Is that really for any age? I mean, could young people attend that, or is it?
It's pretty much adult, I would say. I think there are things for the younger teenagers in town and such, but we would not turn anyone away. Everyone is welcome.
Okay.
Everyone.
And again, you mentioned the group, but
okay. Yes, it meets at its sale offices upstairs at the Plaza in Suite 221, and it meets on Mondays, the second and fourth Mondays of each month. And then, like I said, in October, we're going to be going to every Monday.
Okay. So, and will that continue through the winter and beyond?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. It's been going about a year now.
And it's been, it sounds like, very successful.
Yes, it has. It has.
Okay. Did you want to add anything?
Oh, I just want to add one more thing. Every Wednesday at the library, we're also having TED Talks and discussion afterwards. And this Wednesday, we're going to have a topic on addiction as well, so kind of follow that week. And so we want to thank KRBD for allowing us to go on air and help build awareness. Thank you, Maria.
Okay. And then there is also a special presentation at the Discovery Center tomorrow night.
Yes.
Which has to do with the problems in this community with heroin and opioids. A lot of good information out there, educating yourself about kind of what's going on out there and what you can do.
Thank you, Maria.
Thank you so much for being here.